Okay, yesterday we started our discussion of Mechitza, and we pointed out the Gemara at the end of Masechet Sukkah, which happens to be the Gemara that we're learning this year, as the source of the requirement for Mechitza when it talks about the Beis HaMikdash, how in the Beis HaMikdash at the Simchas Beis Shoeva, they made a Tikkun Gadol, and we discussed how it's probably a Din D'Oraisa, as well as many other Yisurim that could be violated in the absence of a Mechitza. So we spoke about the severity of it, we spoke about going into a shul without a proper Mechitza. Today, I want to discuss how much of a separation is really necessary in order to have a kosher mechitza. The Rambam in the Pirush Mishnayos to Masechet Sukkah writes very clearly, the Rambam writes, Makom anashim lemalu mimakom anashim v'atam kedei shlo yistaklu ha'anashim b'nashim, that men should not be able to look at the women, the Rambam writes in the Pirush Mishnayos, which very much sounds like the mechitza is the mechitza needs to be such that men cannot even see the women. However, in two places in Mishnah Torah, the Rambam seems to say otherwise. In Hilchos Beis HaBechira Perkei Alachates, and in Hilchos Shofar Sukkah V'Lulav Perkei Aloch Yud Beis, the Rambam has lashon, although slightly different formulations, but essentially the lashon is Kedei Shelo Yehiyu Mu'urvavin, that they should not be mixed together, that there shouldn't be intermingling between the men and the women. So this stira in the Rambam caused a lot of discussion in the Achronim, what exactly the Rambam means. How could the Rambam in one place say that men shouldn't be able to see the women? Somewhere else the Rambam writes that men shouldn't be able to mix with women. Big nafkamina, can you have a glass mechitza? Right, we're just talking, if men could see right through the mechitza, but they can't walk right through the mechitza, they can't pass their hands right through the mechitza, is that kosher me ikar hadin? The Tos Yantif happens to be in the Mishnah on Sukkah, highlights the idea of not seeing. He seems to emphasize not seeing as a primary reason rather than not to mix. So how we resolve this conflict is going to lead us down the path of what kind of mechitza we will view as acceptable. There are, as far as I know, four or five different ways to resolve this conflict. The Satmar Rebbe in Divrei Yoel Chelek Aleph Simen Yud writes that when men stare at women, when men are able to see women, that is intermingling, meaning that is a mixture of men and women. It's not two different things. It's the same thing. Men looking at women is being mixed with women. Men shouldn't look at women at all. So he says he doesn't see a stira at all. Rav Moshe writes that no, that when the Rambam talks about that they shouldn't be able to look, because if you're looking and there happens to not be a partition, then you're going to come to intermingle with each other. But if you're looking and there is a partition, then there's no concern, because the real concern, Rav Moshe writes, is that we're afraid you're going to come to mingle with them. Elamai, the Rambam says when they used to have in the Beis HaMikdash, where the men were on the inside and women on the outside, or vice versa, depending which stage we're talking about, without a real partition separating them, they were afraid that by being mistakel, it's going to lead that they're going to be married with each other, that they're going to mix together with each other. But the end game, the goal is that they shouldn't mix together. So looking itself, Rav Moshe thinks, or I shouldn't say looking is not a problem, being able to see, Rav Moshe thinks, is not a problem. In the Tshuvas Mishnah Halachos, Rav Menashe Klein, Chelek Zayin, Simen Yud Beis, he says, no, what you see from the Rambam is that looking is a problem and mixing is a problem, and either one would be enough reason to require a mechitza. That the Rambam is not Soser himself, he's saying multiple reasons for the requirement of mechitza. Rabbi Yehuda Herzl Henkin, the grandson of Rav Henkin Zichron Levracha, the grandson of the great posek in America prior to Rav Moshe, writes in his Tshuvas B'nei Banim in Chelek Aleph that the Rambam probably changed his mind. That very often you have, the Rambam will say one thing in his commentary to the Mishnah, and the Mishnah Torah, which came later, represents the Rambam's true and final opinion. So he comes to the same conclusion as Rav Moshe, but he doesn't feel like he needs to be miyashim the Rambam. He just says, okay, the Rambam's really concerned about mixing, he's not so concerned about being mistakel. So however, the Sri Deish also deals with the Rambam's, he says that lo yistakel means l'shem hana'a, it doesn't mean to be able to see, and that being mistakel l'shem hana'a is what's going to ultimately lead to intermingling, whatever it is. But the Sri Deish sides with Rav Moshe very much, that the issue is not that you shouldn't be able to see. So on the one hand, we have the Satmar Rebbe, Rav Menashe Klein, and many other Gedolei HaPoskim who all hold that you can't be able to see. Whereas you have Rav Moshe and the Sri Deish and others who say that no, that you shouldn't be able to mix, but being able to see is not a problem. So where does this leave us in terms of how big does a mechitza have to be? So first first thing when we're learning sukkah this year, first thing you think of when you talk about dinei mechitza is how high is a wall, is a halachically kosher wall. So right away you think 10 tvachim, that's a kosher wall in dinim of sukkah and irv and everything on makkah and all the halachos that relate to mechitza. So I corresponded with Rav Shechter about this because I wanted to be clear. I've heard in the name of the Rav, in the name of Salvechik, that 10 tefachim was kasher mechitza, and I didn't know where that came from. Rav Shechter clarified it for me a little bit. What he basically said is that the Rav allowed a person to take a position in a shul as a Rav of a shul if the shul had a 10 tefach mechitza and you thought that you could be mashpia letova in the shul and ultimately lead them for more. Now, he wouldn't allow taking a position in a shul that had no mechitza, but a shul that had a 10 tefach mechitza, that he thought that that's that they're not completely ignoring the din entirely, even though what he said it's not chukasakum. Remember we said yesterday the Rav held it's chukasakum not to have a mechitza, so it's not chukasakum if they have a 10 tavach mechitza because the goyim sit totally mixed without any wall in between them. But he said that it's that it is a bitul mitzvah of binyan beis haknesses. So if you're going to be mashpia letova, he thought that you can go. Now one of his talmidim once took a weekend or a yom norayim job in such a shul, and the rav got very upset. He said, "How can you go there? You're not being mashpia letova. You're just trying to make some money. So to make some money and go in such a shul, absolutely not." He thought that that was terrible. That was wrong. Rav Moshe thinks it's not even okay midaraisa. Midaraisa ten tavach mechitza, absolutely nothing. That absolutely does nothing for you. Now. Rav Shechter told me that the Rav thought that if it's 10 tefachim tall, you could daven there ba'akrei ba'alma. Now, let's say you're at a family simcha and there's a shul of 10 tefach mechitza, so you could daven in such a shul, but you can't daven there, you can't be a member of such a shul. He thought because it's if you're a member, then it's your responsibility to be bone of the Beis HaKnesses, and it's a bitul mitzvah say of bin your Beis HaKnesses. But if you just go there ba'akrei ba'alma, it's not your mitzvah, it's not your problem. So that's, and again, it's not the violation of the Yisra of Chukasakum, where a shul without a mechitza, he wouldn't even let you say amen to a bracha, to go even to walk into your tzkiyah shofar, he wouldn't let you go. But a shul that has a ten tefach mechitza, it's sort of like in this in-between area. But no one holds that a ten tefach mechitza is good v'chadchila, as far as I know. Rav Moshe in his tshuva, now we mentioned yesterday, or Chaim Chelek Aleph Siman Lametes says that the ideal, or that the kosher mechitza, minimum kosher mechitza, is a shoulder height mechitza. And his raya is from the Gemara, that the Gemara says that initially they saw that people were mixing, so what did they do? They flipped the men and the women, right, from the inside to the outside. Well, what Rav Moshe says, you think the problem was that they were afraid the men could see the women? What was the havamina then to just flip them from the inside to the outside before they went to the next step and built a balcony? They knew that they were still going to be able to see them. It must be that flipping them, they thought that if they keep the men on the inside, the men are less likely to find the women and to go out toward the women, whereas if they had the men on the outside, the men are more likely to go closer in to find to mix with the women. So clearly the whole chashash of the Gemara, he says, is a chashash that they're going to mix together. And again, Rav Moshe Shita assumes, Rav Moshe says, women aren't covering their hair, so if it's only shoulder height, and shoulder height, by the way, means on both sides. A lot of times you have elevated Ezra's Nashim. So it's shoulder height on the men's side, but on the women's side, one of the local shuls that used to not have such a good mechitza, the joke used to be, the skirts are higher than the mechitza. Right? It was an elevated Ezra's Nashim, and the way it was from the women's side wasn't anywhere near the proper height of the mechitza. So it means shoulder height on both sides. And Ramosh says, women aren't covering the hair, how are you going to make a bracha? So he says, Kvar Horizakin, the Archa Shulchan, famous Shita, that you're allowed to make a bracha in front of uncovered hair of women, even though the Archa Shulchan says how much we should cry and scream about the fact that women, unfortunately, so many don't cover their hair, but still, at least you're allowed to make a bracha in front of uncovered hair of women, so he says that's not a problem. But the assumption that Ramosha has is that there's no other erva problem that you're able to see through the mechitza, that there's no other issue of inappropriate dress. If there were, then even Ramosha would say that you should not be able to see the women. So, but theoretically, according to Rav Moshe, a glass mechitza would be okay, because Rav Moshe is not worried about seeing, Rav Moshe is worried about mixing. You can't walk through glass, so theoretically, according to Rav Moshe, a glass mechitza should be okay. Rav Vazner discusses the idea of a glass mechitza in Shevet HaLevi, Chelek Aleph Siman Chavtes, and he talks about a glass mechitza that you can't even see through clearly, that it's a little fuzzy, and he's not happy about that. He finds it strange that you would that we would go against whatever Minig Yisrael has been for so many years, and all of a sudden start putting up glass mechitzas. But Rav Vazner, to his great credit, obviously says in the tshuva, you should really speak to the local Rabbanim about this, these kinds of things. Sometimes there is a local Talmud Chacham who's already paskined on this issue, and I'm not so familiar with the community, so I can't give a definitive psak. Just as a Davar Klali, he says, I find it odd to use glass for a mechitza. Now, as we mentioned yesterday, Tzitz Eliezer quotes a Leiv HaIvri, and the Satmar Rebbe also holds that any mechitza that you can see through is a problem. So far we've discussed Tentavach mechitza, we discussed Rav Moshe's shoulder height, because it's no problem about seeing, it's only a problem of mixing, and he thinks shoulder height is enough to block the mixing. Mixing doesn't have to mean that they're walking amongst each other, it could just be handing things over, you know, just being able to be in direct contact with each other. So Rav Moshe thought shoulder height was enough to block the direct contact. But the Satmar Rebbe and others held that even seeing is a problem, that even the ability to see over the mechitza is a problem. In Divrei Rav, Rav Shefter's New Sefer, page Kufn and Vav, he says that someone once asked the Rav, why is it that there used to be the shul in Europe that had a balcony for the women, and no one ever davened there, none of the really from people ever davened there? So the Rav said, what's the kasha? The balcony wasn't in the back, it was on the sides, and the men sitting in the shul always saw the women. So what kind of from guy would daven in such a shul where you couldn't see the women? Not that the Rav held the halacha, dine mechitza, that you can't see, it just wasn't, that wasn't the minhag, that wasn't appropriate, that you should be able to see the women from the men's section. The Sri Deish, again, defends Rav Moshe to a great degree, thinks Rav Moshe is 100% correct in this halacha. Rav Menashe Klein in the Mishnah Halachas discusses the possibility of a one-way glass, of being able to see one way. Strangely, he's against it. That seems to be the Eitzah that really works for everybody, because men won't be able to see the women, but the women won't feel like they're excluded. Whatever it is, that seems to be the Eitzah that a lot of Batei Knesios have gone with. In Tshuvas Van Hagos, Rav Sturmbach writes, in Chelgal of Simukov Samach Beis, that if it's a very high balcony and it has tiny holes, that it would be very difficult for a man to see, meaning it's a balcony way up there. So if a man is going to stare at a woman, has tiny holes through the thing, he's going to literally have to, it's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be so obvious that he's staring and that he's trying to look. So he says that's okay, because no one's going to do something like that, and that way the women will be able to see what's going on downstairs. Again, but Rav Sturmbach is also of the general approach against Rav Moshe that men shouldn't be able to see the women. The question is, what circumstances, what places do you need a mechitza? Rav Moshe or Chaim Chelgal Simon Mamalev says proves from Korban Pesach, the fact that Korban Pesach was eaten amongst many families would be registered and the same carbon, they'd all eat together. We never find that the men would separate from the women. So he says it must be that you're allowed to have a meal with multiple men and women together. So what's the geder? So he says you have to register on a Korban Pesach. So it must be anything that's by invitation only, that's a set amount of people, so that you're allowed to have men and women together, you don't need a mechitza. But when it's something that anyone could come, anyone can show up, you do need a mechitza. So Rav Moshe held you allowed to have mixed seating at weddings, because it's by invitation only. It depends on the community, I guess, but it's generally it's by invitation only when it comes to weddings, and therefore technically mikra din, it would be mutter. Obviously there were gedolei poskim who disagreed with Rav Moshe, but just one final word. In many shuls, when they'll have a guest lecturer or a speaker or something, and they'll have men and women, they'll put the men on one side, the women on the other side, and they'll just take down the mechitza so that everyone can see the speaker. Rav Moshe writes in a tshuva, Nor Chaim Chelkei in the 8th volume of Igros Moshe, Simon Yud Aleph, that he doesn't think that Meikra Din, that's appropriate, that's correct. And Rav Shechter told me also, based on the Ramah in Hilchos Shabbos, Simon Shin Tes Vav, writes that you're allowed to put up a mechitza in shul on Shabbos, l'tzniusa bi'alma, because it's not a mechitza, it's matir, it's a mechitza, it's only for tznius. Mishra Brura says, what does it mean, a mechitza in shul? And Mishra Brura gets it from the Mordechai, which is the source of that Ramah, that the mechitza that we're talking about is the mechitza b'shas hadrasha. So you see, says Rav Shechter, that Meikra didn't really b'shas hadrasha, you should have a mechitza. Elamai, it's not absolutely required. It's not that it's the matir, it's just something that's the seus of the alma that should be done meikra adin. So I asked Rav Shechter, would you speak in a shul where there are men and women that are sitting there without a mechitza? He said, absolutely yes. He said that in general, when they ask him, what do you prefer? If he's invited to speak at a community, he would tell them, do whatever your minhag is, because his feeling is that since it's only l'tznius b'alma, if there's a single person who's not going to come to the shir, because they're going to be uncomfortable with the fact that there's a mechitza there, he thinks it's not worth it. But when he speaks in yeshiva or something like that, where no one, it's not going to turn anyone away, if he puts up a mechitza, then he thinks it's the proper thing to put up a mechitza. And Rav Moshe writes the same exact thing in the tshuva, that if you're able to be mashpia on people better, by because they're going to come. If there's no mechitza and just sitting on separate sides of the room, that you can give a shir that way, but never ever for a tefillah without a mechitza. Without, well, never ever in a shul for a tefillah without a proper mechitza.